Okay, so I had Bob King here. He is like a wizard at sales. So if you need to know about sales and how to really have success when it comes to selling in your business, with your teams, whatever, he has a book called The Joy of Closing. It's a definitive guide to building trust, getting the deal, and creating happy customers. He talks about like frameworks and how to get that sale, but also how to nurture that client afterwards, so you have happy customers, so that you get those 5-star reviews. So I really love this conversation. I'm going to have Bob back. I'm going to go pick up his book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to have him back because sales is huge and you need to know it in order to sell and be successful at what you're doing. And, whether you're in coaching, whether you have a widget, whether you have a sales team selling things, whatever it is, you need to know sales. And I think it's something I've been like really starting to get into and I really like it. And I think Bob just really clarifies and demystifies a lot of things in this episode. So I cannot wait for you to see it. Here we go. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And you know, I go around this freaking planet of ours finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And I really like this guy's energy, so I think you guys are gonna freaking love him. His name is Bob King. He is a sales superstar who has mastered the art of the close. Now, y'all know. Okay, how many of us need some help in this area? Now, Bob literally wrote the book on it. His book is The Joy of Closing, a definitive guide to building trust, getting the deal, and creating happy customers. Now, it's a must read, y'all. So y'all better pick it up. All right. So beyond being an author, Bob is a filmmaker. Okay. And his debut of Psycho Beach Party premiering at Sundance. And he's a sought after coach who boosts performance. He boosts performance and he just really helps with sales and helps you become a pro in sales across all industries. Now he's known as the one, he's known for his one call magic approach. What is wrong with my English today, y'all? Okay. Now Bob turns first impressions into lasting client relationships. And I love having these kind of conversations, Bob, because, I speak to a lot of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, coaches, things like that. And those are the people who listen to the show. And one of the things that people are always struggling with is I don't know sales. I can't do sales. I'm struggling in my sales department. So I love that we're having this conversation because you're speaking to the right audience. Mm-hmm. So before we start, Bob, I know I gave a little bit of who you are, but I really want to know you a little bit more. So who are you? Who are you, Bob?
Sure. I'm someone who I went to film school. I was in the film business for about 19 years. I had some success. I got to make a couple of movies. I sold a couple of scripts. I had a little, but I never really made money. And and then this thing came along called the global economic collapse, which wiped out the real estate income that I'd kind of lived on. And I had to figure out a way to make money. And so with my skill set, what was available was basically a bunch of Craigslist offers for commission only sales jobs. And I was offered every one I went for. So apparently they thought I had something that would be valuable in terms of sales, but it was very unproven at that point. And I took the one from a guy who could sell you a blender at the state fair on a day you never thought about blenders. It was for solar
awesome.
Power.
That's
and
awesome.
They paid to train you. And, there I was in this dark office off the 405 freeway in southern part of Los Angeles. And this guy's like, are you in or are you out? And, he wasn't waiting for me to go home and think about it. He wanted a decision right then and there. And I said, do you do the training? He said, yes. And I said, I'm in. And that really started a journey for me because what happened was I went to work for that company. I mostly was just curious. I love con artist movies and I wanted to know how they did it. I had seen my dad kind of get swindled for some pots and pans and sign up for a, subscription. And I love like The Lady Eve and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and The Sting. I kind of was raised on those movies. And I just wanted to know the trick. And halfway through the second week of training, they revealed the trick, which was a way to engage the customer's greed, to make moving forward their idea. And then when the training was over, I felt like I owed it to him to go out on a couple of leads. And it turns out I was really good at closing people.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. I quickly realized that the company I was working for really wasn't a good place for people to be in business with. And so I left there for a little bit better company and then to a solar startup that someone I had worked with, you know, and all of a sudden a year and a half into this, I was, you know, a VP of sales, hiring and training sales teams in two different cities and bringing millions of dollars of business to the solar startup, which eventually imploded. And I went to work for a very reputable company and had to figure out a way to close people without engaging their greed. Mm. And so I put some things together and created a different way to do it. And so that's why I wrote the book, because I really don't want anyone else to be trained the way I was, basically to marshal your self-will and the customer's greed to create something that they may later regret. That's not really what closers do. What we really do is work with the customer's resistance to get them something they want, which is an incredibly noble thing. And I really wanted to take the stigma off that once and for all and write a book that would help people do that.
Yeah, that's really great, right? Because you're right. I think there's so many different approaches to this. And maybe that's why everybody's so afraid of sales or thinking they can't do sales or whatever, right? Because back in the day when I remember that we always used to be like, oh, he's a used car salesman. He's a used car salesman, right? And it started to become like this stigma around sales because, you know,
I'm like, so glad you brought up the stigma, but let's call it what it is. Actually, sales has taken on a certain nobility. I think people just know salespeople are the best paid people in their company. It's really closing that is stigmatized. It is that used car salesman, grinder, pressure on the customer, let me talk to my manager approach that gives closing that kind of stigma. But what it really is a part of sales that even the most seasoned salespeople kind of find either awkward or somehow beneath them. But what they don't realize is that it is really the part of sales that gives you the most value to your customer, to your company, and really to you as well. Because once you learn how to earn someone's trust, it is incredibly powerful. It's incredibly intoxicating. Like, you really fall in love with it. And that's what happened to me. I really fell in love with it. I also noticed that like the things I did to blow a sale also tend to ruin the rest of your life. Mm. So if you allow it, you know, learning how to close and people can really be this way to make your whole life better.
That is such a great approach, right? It's an interesting way to think about it too, because, you know, you're talking about the closing and the sale as two different things, right? And so talk to me a little bit about that. Like, talk to me about the difference between the salesperson or that sale that's happening and then the closing piece. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, so after I had some success, I started coaching people, and a lot of people I coached were in B2B situations or, you know, other situations where you can't necessarily close them on the first day. But the techniques that one call closers have to use, because if you don't get that sale, typically some manager comes behind you with a price drop and you are out gas money and time.
Right.
You know, if you want to be a one call closer, you have to be a great presenter. And so there's a certain emotion there when you connect with your customers' emotions, which is what the system I basically distilled a 12-step system into 7 steps and a forecast. And so that's what I call one call magic. And there's a few things in it that I came up with, but it's mostly just distilling a very classic approach to one call closing that is applicable to all kinds of sales, because no matter what you're selling, you only have one chance to make a first impression. You only have the element of surprise one time. And if you squander it on, you know, trying to figure out what you're doing every time, or figure out who your, all that stuff about, like, you know, the driver and who your customer is and all that stuff that really, I think gets in the way of just putting on a great show, of being fascinating to that customer, of engaging their emotions and making them want what you have. If you're not doing all that, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. And I think the success I've had with my clients that aren't in, you know, home improvement or, you know, some of the things that I did definitely demonstrates that. And so, yeah, give it a try. It's $18.99 off Amazon, and you can have a whole new approach to what you're doing. The other thing I wanted to do when I wrote the book was for, you know, there's that old saying, but it really is true. Oftentimes 20% of the sales force does 80% of the sales. And I wanted to put in a book all the things that that 20% will never tell you if you are stuck in that 80%. And so, so there you go. That is the other reason why I wrote the book.
So in your book, right, because the joy of closing, right, you're emphasizing then this building of trust as a foundation, right, for the successful close. So can you tell me, like, how can a salesperson then, because I know that the people that listen to this are like, what? Wait, sales? So how can salespeople balance that need to close the deal with the need to be genuine or have this trust thing happening, especially when they're in a high pressure situation, right?
Like, those competing agendas. That's a false trade-off. If you are being a human being, if you are paying a sincere compliment to your customer, if you are paying attention to them, right, if you are putting their needs first, you will close them. You don't have to be the jerk who stares at the picture of the Ferrari that he wants to buy.
Right.
And then goes in there and tries to marshal self-will and all that stuff. That's really old school. It will work with some customers, but alienate the vast majority of them. And so, but you do have to start with the same idea. And that idea is that moving forward with you and your company is the absolute best thing that customer could do. Mm-hmm. You do have to start with that. And that's the one thing that, like, all the sort of high pressure, you know, sales stuff that came before me that I have not done exhaustive research. I don't know if I'm the first person ever to say this, but it's definitely, there is a lot of new ground broken. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But you have to have belief. The number one thing you have to have is belief in what you're doing. And if you don't have that, you're not going to be a very effective closer. And if you manufacture it in order to get the deal, you might be successful, but you're going to be miserable. So I think you really have to find the real reasons that moving forward with you and your company is a great idea. I mean, your audience of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and things like that, they know why they created their company, right? There was a need that they created their company to fill. And, you know, oftentimes people who created companies are great closers. They may not be great salespeople. They may not present their company as well as someone that they might hire, but they have belief. They know that their intentions are good. They know that that when they sign up a customer, that they will do anything to make them happy. And if you believe that, communicating that to your customer is far more powerful than being able to talk about the bells and whistles of a product.
So that's
the part that really, like, non-closers leave out because they don't want to seem salesy or something like that, which there's nothing more salesy than trying not to seem salesy. So.
That's so true. So when you're working with sales teams, right? Yeah. And you've helped, because I know you've helped countless people, like, overcome, you know, all of these slumps and stuff like that, that they may go through. So what are, like, the common, like, mindsets or misconceptions that are holding these sales professionals back, right? How can they turn things around? Because I know that when I'm in, like, masterminds and things like that, like, that's the one thing I see that's a hiccup for a lot of people, is either their misconception of it or their mindset, and it's holding them back from creating what it is they want to create for this client in front of them. So how can they turn it around maybe quickly?
I think the quickest way to turn around a sales team is to figure out what each individual on that team is saying about their company. And generally speaking, the one or two people that are having great success are talking about their company in ways that are tribal, that customers identify with. They talk about their core customer in a very idealized way that makes the person they're talking to want to be that customer. Okay. And then they talk about why they're there. They make it personal. And when you do that, it just opens up this world of limbic brain stimulation to the person you're talking to. But it also opens something in you when you say that stuff. So number one, you know, thing you can do is figure out the best company story in your company and how other people can emulate it. Not necessarily like by saying the same thing,
right,
but by understanding their personal connection to the company.
Right.
Because how one person, you know, why one person's there is not the same reason as the other people. And if the reason you're there is not, you know, you can't fake it. Like that's something that a customer can sniff out in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so that's probably the simplest quick fix when you're talking about a team situation that, almost always, well, so far every time that's been a big factor.
Well, I guess you gotta actually sell it to your team, right? You gotta actually get into sales in that way and sell the vision and the mission to the team so they can believe in what they're selling, right?
Well, that's the house of mirrors you walk into when you start coaching people, because the truth is, if you're coaching anybody, you are inevitably a closer. If you are not like adopting your suggestions, their idea, you're not going to be very effective.
Yeah.
And that often takes a lot more work than you think. Like you really do have to do the things that I advocate in the book, which is, you know, attack the status quo, make them feel the pain of their current situation and see the pleasure of your solution. Closers, but salespeople in general are change agents. You know, anytime you're asking someone to make a purchase or, you know, well, it's always a purchase, right? Because it's a sale. You are asking them to commit to a specific set of changes.
Right.
And that just, you know, nobody likes to commit, right? You always want to sort of think about it. So allowing someone or giving someone the ability to overcome that stagnation is really a gift and a blessing to you and most importantly, your customer.
Yeah. So let's talk about who you're working with right now, because I know that you are also like coaching and leading and all that kind of stuff. So I want to shift to that, right? So I want to know, what does that look like, especially for someone who's listening right now that may be very interested in learning a little bit more about this and sales and working with you and all that. So what does your program look like? What is it that you do with people? Give us that.
Well, there's sort of different, I have ongoing corporate-ish, some publicly traded clients that where I just, when they bring on new salespeople, I train them and work with, you know, the current sales team, making sure that what they're doing is as effective as it can be. I mean, it's really great having one-on-one feedback. Like if you don't like just the best thing about me working with a, you know, coaching client is that I'm not them. So, and I'm not their customer and there's really nothing at stake.
Right.
So I can be completely honest with them about how they're coming across. And when they start throwing in a bunch of adverbs, you know, I can say that makes you boring. Or when they start say actually, you know, or honestly, I can tell them that when you say that to a customer, it means everything you said before that was a lie.
It wasn't honest, right.
Or if they say, you know, 50 times, you know, in a minute, I can bring that to their attention in a gentle but persuasive way that maybe they're being boring. You know,
right.
The one thing you can't do is bore a customer. So that's one type of client. So lots of one-on-one coaching and new hires and getting them. This particular product has a lot of complex things to impart to the people that they're selling to in a really effective way. So we came up with a pitch for that and I get them familiar with that pitch. That's one type of client. I work with a lot of companies where an owner, you know, is the first salespeople and they're really powerful and effective, even though they don't think they are, but they close a lot of deals. And then they hire a sales team and they don't know why that sales team isn't having the same success. They've seen their presentation. They know they are better presenters than the owner is. And so in that case, what I typically do is get the owner to talk and have the sales team understand why that company's in business and what need it's there to fulfill, and get the sales team also connected to some success stories. Because a lot of times, you know, when you start closing deals, the only customers you talk to after the deal are the ones that have problems, right?
Right.
So it's really easy to get dispirited. There's also a whole section of the book called Creating Happy Customers that helps you understand how to create a happy customer, because that does not happen by accident or because your company does a good job.
Right.
You know, you doing a good job or your company doing a good job is not going to generate referrals and 5-star reviews.
Right, right, right.
Also, there's no Santa Claus, and we live in a world where the best idea does not always win. So I don't want to break anyone's bubble. And if you live in a world where there's still Santa Claus and the best idea always wins, and you don't need to close customers because your product is so great.
Right.
More power to you. Like, you don't need my help. But if you're living in a world where you're losing deals to competition that's inferior, I think some of the things that I have to impart to your sales team could be very effective.
And
that's really, you know, and so that's one area. And the other one is individual, like I'm good at crafting a presentation. And so I had one of my, he was an insurance client, wanted to shift careers and was walking into a situation where, you know, he finally had the big meeting, where, you know, he needed to present his thing. And, you know, I said to him, well, do you want them to see the worst version of what you're going to present, or should we work on this? And we worked on it and he got the deal. So and he called me afterwards and just told me what had happened. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I wanted to talk more about it. And he goes, listen, Bob, I haven't called my wife yet. So let me,
I called you first.
I wanted you to know how helpful what you did was.
That's so awesome. That's really, really great.
Fun. I love coaching people. It really is a fun.
Yeah. It is fun, right? Especially when you are a pro in what you do. It's a pleasure that, you know, to see someone thrive and grow. I mean, he called you before his wife, for God's sakes. That's so cool. Yeah. I love that. So tell me, maybe there's a suggestion or two you can drop for people who are solopreneurs, right? That don't have the team, right? They don't have that. So they're kind of like, or maybe they're in service-based, like coaching businesses and, you know, things like that. You know, how can they
for coaching businesses, I learned a big lesson. Number one, you have to get that customer. What you're going to do is going to upset the team. Like, you know, not everyone's going to love the idea of revamping their sales. I mean, you think they would, but that's not the world. And so you cannot go into a coaching relationship without a commitment to a initial scope of work and an agreement on what success looks like. Mm-hmm, because it's very common for the success. It's very uncommon for someone to call you up and say, you know, I want to let you know how helpful you were. It's much more common for them to bask in their success and never think about the fact that they got help.
Right.
And that's fine. Like you, that's great. That's still success for me. Right. When a sales team doubles their sales and or doubles their closing rate and you know, feels confident and, you know, thought they came up with all this stuff themselves, that's success for me. I want them to feel that way. It's nice when they're grateful, but it's not important. What's important is that what we do have a positive impact, and the one that the owner is hiring me to help create. But it's important to have those benchmarks because and an initial scope of work, because the first thing you're going to do is upset their status quo. You have to make them uncomfortable if you're going to be effective. And that's not an easy moment to get through if you don't have, you know, a certain commitment lined up.
Yeah,
that can go really badly. It did for me. Obviously, I'm speaking from experience, and I'll never do that again. So number one, get an initial scope of work and establish benchmarks as to what success looks like. That's the first thing. So they're not just feeling it.
Right.
And then the other thing, I guess, so for solopreneurs, you know, remember, well, have a pitch. First of all, if you're not selling, it's because you don't have an approach and you're trying to make it up, you know, not knowing what you're going to say about your company or your product or how to make them feel the pain of their current situation is a little like driving your car and then figuring out which pedal you use to make it stop and which pedal you make. So you might get there, but you're not going to be very good at looking at traffic or adjusting to road conditions. You're not going to be a very effective driver. You might not crash, but you could be a lot better if you just intuitively knew which pedal to push. And so what you say to a customer, you know, if you're in sales, you're talking to whatever, 3 or 4 customers a day, most of the time. And if you don't know what you're going to say about that stuff, or you're making it up as you go along for each customer. You're just working way too hard on something that should be second nature. Yeah. And also will only improve, you know, as you see when they nod and you see when they start shaking their head and you make those necessary adjustments. It needs to sound like you're making it up as you go along. Right. But if you're really doing that, you're probably not very successful.
Right. Or
not as successful as you could be. So that's understand that you have a pitch. I mean, there is in my book, The Joy of Closing, a 7-step process. It'll tell you exactly what to say when, it'll tell you what to talk about when, and you can adapt it to whatever it is you're selling. And also, even if your pitch is, you know, a 20-minute phone call, as opposed to an hour-long in-home meeting for, you know, to sell a roof, that's why I made it very adjustable, because you're going to do a warm up. You're going to make them feel the pain of their situation.
Yeah.
You're going to do a forecast, company story, product pitch, a price presentation, and close them. And then if all goes well, you also want to have a standard cool down, keep your deals and make them feel good about the decision they made, and also set a template for creating that happy customer. Let them, you know, set their expectations for what's going to happen after in the post-sale process. All those things are in the hands of your salespeople. So that's one thing. The other thing that solopreneurs also would do well to recognize is that anyone in your company that talks to your customers has the potential to be a close them, anyone in your company that interfaces with your customer has the potential to be a closer. Because if they're not closing them on the sale, they can close them on the customer experience they're having. And that will be 5-star reviews and referrals. And so just because a person's not in sales does not mean they shouldn't be trained to be a closer.
Yeah.
They can close that customer on having a 5-star experience and then follow up by garnering those reviews for you.
I love that. I love that so much. And you're so right. And especially with the part of knowing who you're serving, what you're doing, you know, what the product is, all that kind of stuff. And also to read the room, right, Bob? Like, read the room. If you're over talking, it's time to pull back. You're talking too much. You know, like sometimes.
Or you just have a boring pitch. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Or that.
Maybe you haven't paid enough attention to them in the room. That's the other thing is you really need to pay attention to the customer warm-up.
I've had people like say something completely different than what I just told them 5 minutes ago. Like, I don't have little kids in the house. And you're talking about, oh, so your little ones, I literally just told you my kids are adults. Like, you know, you're obviously not paying attention. So read the room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love what you're about. I love your story. I want to pick up your book too, because it's going to be helpful also to me as a solopreneur with a coaching business and all that. And I like to learn a lot about sales. I've been very interested in sales in the last maybe year or two. And I'm like, you know, it's not the stigma it used to be, you know, growing up. I just didn't know about it. I thought it was like this taboo thing, you know, the used car salesman thing. And then I realized how it's such a pleasure, especially when I'm speaking to another woman across the screen and I'm talking to them about the coaching business and finding out what their pain points are and how I can help. It's been so easy to close just because I've been me.
Completely. What's going on with your kid? How old are your kids?
They're 36, 30, 33, and 25.
Did any of them go to college?
No, they didn't want to.
They didn't want to. Did they? I'm trying to think of something you might have closed them on. Did they have clean rooms?
Yeah. And they're really good kids, actually, good adults.
Did they? Okay, so if you got that kid to clean a room, you have successfully closed someone.
Yeah.
And you might have done it by threatening them or some other, you know, consequence or something like that. But probably you just made it seem like a good idea. And their life is better because of it, right? Yeah. They probably have a clean room right now, even though
they do. And two of them have become entrepreneurs.
That's the nature of closing. It's really helping someone overcome their resistance to get something they want. That's the nature of closing. And the only thing more satisfying than finding what you want and knowing it is helping someone else do it. And so when you talk about becoming a closer, that's really the opportunity that you have. It's not just you know, getting something from the customer. That's really not the nature of closing.
Right, right. And yeah, and nowadays people are very savvy. As soon as you start to be that person, they know immediately and they're turned off, you know?
I push back on that and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you are that, you're there. Look, the nature of a sales call is transactional.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And so if you try and deny that, it just sort of, I don't know. I'm pushing back on all this like steaming salesy stuff. Why don't you act like someone who's there to accomplish something yeah. that is valuable to the customer and not back off on that. And so when they say, look, I've seen a million of these, just give me the price. Be, you know, do not acquiesce to what that customer wants. A lot of times in sales calls, you have to, do I make this person like me or do I do the thing that will create trust? And always, always err on the side of trust. A customer will buy from someone that they don't like, but they will never buy from someone they don't trust. And so when you just do what they tell you and act like you don't have important valuable information to share or that they know more about this than you do, you're destroying the trust that that customer wants to place in you so that they can use your expertise to make a great decision. And so you kind of got to sometimes be a little confrontational about that stuff.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
It's seeming salesy to that person. That's okay. I'm here to accomplish a task. I am on your show to either get hired by your listeners or for them to at least purchase my book.
Right.
And that's why I'm here. And if I sit here and try and say, oh no, I just want to give a bunch of advice and I don't care, you know, I care. Please buy my book. Buy my book.
I freaking love that, Bob.
It's a guide to building trust, getting the deal, and creating healthy customers. It will help everyone on your sales team and everyone in your company be an effective closer. And it will raise the tenor of their interactions with every single person that they meet. And that's really the value of a closer versus someone who's just a salesperson. So, you know, when you talk about sales, stop aspiring to be a salesperson and aspire to be a closer. That's really what I'm inviting you to do.
I love it. I love all that. Drop that wisdom around here, Bob. That's amazing. Thank you for that. And I enjoyed this conversation. I love, you know, all the transparency and the way you just shared all that with my listeners. And I really appreciate it. So I want to know how people can work with you. So that I need. So I need all of your.
I'm on LinkedIn, Bob King, pretty easy to find. Also, my website is bob@joyofclosing.com is my email there. You can just go to joyofclosing.com and push connect. I'm running a special right now. If you buy 20 copies of my book for your sales team and your other employees, I will give you an hour of my time.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. I'll make sure to write that down in the notes. Thank you, Bob, for being here. You are awesome sauce. I appreciate you. Any films or anything?
I've been on a bunch of podcasts lately where they actually read my book before the podcast, and it's gone so amazing. I would love for you to read the book and have me back.
I love that.
So much more for your, you know, you would know what to ask that your listeners and your viewers would really probably get a lot out of. Read my book and have me back and let's get into the deep dive.
I would love that because I really meant it. I'm going
to. I believe you.
I really meant it. I'm really getting into sales. I'm really looking at it a lot. I'm reading more books about it. I really want to get into it. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out with me today. I really appreciate your time and wisdom. Thank you.
Great to see you.
You're so good. Thank you guys for hanging out with me and Bob. I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below. And also, you heard him, right? So if you buy a multiple, I think it was like 20 books or more for your sales team, he'll give you an hour of his time. That is invaluable, guys. All right. So stop wasting time. Stop, you know, pussyfooting around, doing all that stuff. Get your stuff together because sales is huge, right? Anything you're in, whether it's service, you got a widget, whatever, you do need to know about sales. So I'm going to make sure to do that for you because I don't want you to miss a thing. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. You know the deal. Until next time.